You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. There is one story that could affect the American people and the Chinese people. I think you know what I'm talking about. There was an off-the-cuff comment, but I don't think it's off-the-cuff, although some people wanted to characterize it. And I'll play it first. I think that's the best thing to do. And this is Donald Trump. Remember, he's out of the country at this NATO conference. And let's see what he said.
The China trade deal is dependent on one thing. Do I want to make it? Because we're doing very well with China right now. And we can do even better with a flick of a pen. And China's paying for it. And China has the worst year by far that they've had in 57 years. So we'll see what happens. But we're doing very well right now. And I gave the farmers, as you know, $28 billion and had a lot left over. Because the farmers were targeted by China. I gave them $28 billion over a two-year period, and that got them whole. That was everything that China took out. I gave them from the tariffs that China paid us, and I had billions left over, many billions left over.
So you don't really have a deadline.
I have no deadline, no.
In
some ways, I think it's better to wait till after the election. You want to know the truth? I think in some ways it's better to wait till after the election with China. But I'm not going to say that. I just think that. I just tell you, in some ways, I like the idea of waiting till after the election for the China deal. But they want to make a deal now, and we'll see whether or not the deal's going to be right. It's got to be right.
Well, if it's true that they really want to make a deal now, and he would know, then he's waiting for that good deal. See, I agree with him. I think it would be better to wait to after the election. But can Donald Trump really wait to after the election? And that gets back to the fact that the one thing that could, and I underline could, lead to a Democratic victory, and that would be disastrous, is, and I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm just saying in terms of the economy, given the position staked out by the Democratic candidates, they would be a disaster for the economy. They want to go to a Democrat socialist type nation, and the American people will not support that. And they have other things that they want to do. We haven't talked about the Green New Deal, but eventually, once they decide on who's going to carry that flag, we will go over that. So I agree with President Trump that he should wait to after the election, because that's when I think you'll get the best deal. But it's a two-part problem. And I see President Trump's point of view. Assuming that what he's saying is correct, that China really wants a deal, and I think that's smart for China. They need to make it as quick as possible. Otherwise, Trump's going to hit them with tariffs on the 15th, and I think that's what's going to happen. But then, once that does happen, the Chinese may no longer have that sense of urgency and said, well, let's wait. Because I think communist Chinese think they can get a better deal with the Democrats. But they have to make a calculation as to who's most likely to win. And as far as I'm concerned, it could be a close race. Don't get me wrong. I believe Donald Trump can win. And I was reviewing this with someone else that was a journalist. And I made the the comment that I think the one person that was surprised that he won probably the most was Donald Trump. I really thought he didn't believe he could get the nomination, and he certainly didn't believe he could win, and surprise, surprise, he did. And it's a new ball game. Oh, yes, Donald Trump needs a good trade deal, but if it's not good, and if it's the difference between good and great is in the eye of the beholder. So, and we don't have insight as to what's going on. That's what's very frustrating about this. We get these offhand comments, and do they have significance? You know, he might get come back. President Trump comes back, and on right before the 15th, they announce we have an important breakthrough. Shake hands, everybody's smiling. But the proof's in the pudding, and I think what will be the ultimate sticking point is the enforceability of the agreement. Oh yeah, you could have the greatest agreement, but if you can't enforce the terms, then for all practical purposes, China has won. So this is getting a lot of attention and a lot of analysis, and I even debated, should I even contribute to this? Because it's all speculation. We don't know. Now, who knows? Trump, I think, knows what's going on. Definitely Lighthizer, the trade negotiator, and Mnuchin probably knows, but American people don't. It has, in my mind, the only way you're going to get a quick deal is the Chinese have to offer an awful lot. And will they do that? Maybe, maybe not. But if they believe, like I believe, that Donald Trump's going to win, better get it now, because it's not going to improve. If Donald Trump, as a result of not getting a deal, it becomes very, very, very close. In other words, the economy is growing. But it's not growing at his historical trend rate of between 3 and 3.5%. I call it a two-thirds speed, and the economy is slowing. But as long as consumer confidence is there, and for all practical purposes, we won't know until the end of the, after Christmas, actually in early January we'll know. But as long as unemployment remains under 4%, Donald Trump will win, and I think it will. The only one thing that could lead to Donald Trump losing is if the economy goes into a full recession prior to the election. What I'm saying is, we'll know the first and second quarter will have the growth, the GDP statistics, the real GDP statistics. And in October, let me explain. You have the first quarter, January, February, March. The second quarter, April, May, and June. The third quarter, July, August, September. We'll have the advance estimate for the GDP number the end of October, just before the election. As long as all those numbers for the three quarters are positive, Donald Trump wins. If the first two quarters are positive and the third one is slightly negative or very low, Donald Trump wins. The only way Donald Trump loses, in my mind, is you have the first and second quarter being negative. And I don't see that. Remember, the definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative growth. So I'm not as, this has had an impact on stocks. People will believe what they believe. And this is an excuse for some people to take their winnings, if you will. So we need to focus on trade. And obviously, I'll be the first to say, if they can come to some agreement between now and the election, that helps Donald Trump and it helps the Communist Chinese Party. If they don't, we got to see. And keep in mind, the Communist Chinese are watching. The economy in China is definitely slowing down, but they're still growing at a rate higher than the United States, about 5%, between 5 and 6. So they're not in a recession. Now, Donald Trump likes to give you the impression, yeah, it's not the best year for Communist China. Yeah, it's still better than in growth terms than ours. But we have the more difficult challenge because we're definitely more wealthy and successful country. It's hard to get a booming rate, especially when you're running such huge deficits. You see, you can have a booming economy if you have the right economic policies, but neither political party has the right policies. And that's why I've given up on both parties. They're both big government. government wealth, either I call it the warfare and welfare state, is an accurate description of the U.S. economy today. It's not what we could have, a peace and prosperity economy, but that would require drastically cutting down and downsizing the federal government, and neither the Democratic Party or the Republican Party are for it. It's going to take an entirely new party to replace one or more of the existing political parties, and I think the one that's most in danger, given how far left they've gone, way beyond where the American people are, is the Democratic Party. Oh, could I be wrong? Yeah, but I don't think I am. Or I wouldn't be saying it. So this was an interesting day of news, and the focus is entirely on this. Now, we did have some other news, but does it really affect you? Maybe. It seems that the founders of Google are stepping down and letting the current CEO of Google will be responsible for not only Google, but Alphabet. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're a stockholder of Google, you're definitely looking at this. I think it's good that founders at some point decide they have better things to do. Remember, these people are rich, and the way they've structured the stock, if the company does well and it has been doing well, it probably, his wealth will double. He might be in several years over $100 billion, and that's one of the founders. Keep that in mind. So if they have confidence that the person managing it, and obviously they do, is doing a good job, let it ride. And that's what they're doing. You do need shakeups of management. And one of the biggest problems is getting the founders that brought it to a successful level to finally see that there are people that know how to manage businesses. They always have their ideas, and they don't. And I'm not going to go over. If you're interested, there's a fairly good article from Wikipedia on this. But you see, I know the American people don't care about the management change in Google, but it's the news story today. The biggest news story today after Trump's comment is the change in management, or the founders are stepping aside. That's the way I would say it, and letting the current CEO manage both of them. Prior to this, the regular business, the normal business that you think Google, YouTube, they have other companies, but in my mind, those are the two big ones. And I think in the general public's mind, that's the big one. As long as that moving smoothly and they're getting the ad money keeps rolling in, and it is terrific, because the other part of the company, I would call it long-range bets. You're looking, all companies are looking at investments and buying other companies if they think the combination would make sense. And Google does that. Every large successful company has to do that. And then they have to focus. And what sometimes happens is you have the problem of the founders not wanting to relinquish their management control. They've already done that. And now I think they're making the right decision. If you have a good person, a good team, really, it's not one person. It's never one person. Then let them manage the whole thing. See, I have no problem with this, but you have to watch it, and you better believe the founders will watch it. I think this is the way I look at this, is sort of a disengagement of the founders that still control the company the way the stock is set up, and they have an interest. Yeah, they want their net worth to go up, and if they can get better performance, fine. What you got to be very, very careful of, though, is, and that requires listening to a lot of people, and I'm sure they have a couple of their trusted friends or associates, however they want to call it, that if it looks like they made a mistake, in other words, something's rotten, they'll double check it. And I'm not saying anything is. I'm just saying, yes, you can delegate. You can't do everything. And that's the hardest thing. You have to be able to trust people and delegate what is not essential to your executive position. The bigger disasters are those that don't delegate enough. The worst ones is you delegate too much. But I found that is not necessarily a problem. It's the other way. You have one person that thinks he is it, and he's wiser than everybody else, and that's seldom, if ever, the case. Now, sometimes it is, but what happens is ego. You think you walk on water, think you're a god, God's gift to humanity, and you're the smartest one in the room, and people are not, and first you start alienating the people, and before you know it, now I don't think Google, given what it owns, now the parent company is Alphabet, but most people don't. They call it Google. And the two products I use is Google and YouTube. I'm a big fan of YouTube. Google, I can find other search engines, but I have reservations on their search engine. And if they don't clean up their act, because the worst thing any business can do is become political. The best advice is stay away from religion, stay away from politics. You're in it to whatever your business is. They say it's organizing the knowledge of the world. Fine. I was reading some of the comments, and one person said, and this is what I really agree with, too bad they don't really have some strong competition. And I think that is a problem. If you look at what's called big tech or high tech, there is a dominance of a few companies, whether it's entertainment, online sales, tools. You need competition. What keeps businesses on their toes is competition, and where you don't have it, invariably people get lazy, apathetic, and before you know it, someone can come along and take a lot of the business away. Could that happen to Google and YouTube? Maybe, because I'm seeing a lot more talk. It's all talk right now. What some would call the right wing or conservatives. What's their problem? The biggest challenge for them is they have to deal with big lie media. They don't have their own news, investigative journalism. And I know some of you are going to say Fox. Fox is not it. Never was, never will be. And given the sons are basically running that business, or one is, it's going to take, if the right is ever going to get power, the Republican Party has never been a conservative party. What I have been advocating and will advocate is we need a new party. Independents have no one really to vote for. And I'm well aware that some still lean Democrat, some lean Republican. And I'm just a guess on my part. I would say maybe half of the people that say they're independent are truly independent. The other half are leaners. Either they lean Democrat or they lean Republican. We will be facing a financial day of reckoning, and it's sooner than we think. Right now, I'm not optimistic, because neither political party is doing anything about it. That's why I say it could be earlier than later. But there are things that you could do if you had the right economic policies, but you can't do them because neither party will do it. And I mean downsizing the federal government. That's simply not popular. That's not even on the table, not even discussed. You need to downsize the federal government, and you need fundamental reform of the tax system, and you need fundamental reform of entitlements to bring it, the word I use, an actuarially sound basis. In other words, the money is there to pay the benefits that are owed. That's going to take 20 to 30 years to solve, and neither political party will tell the truth to the American people. And part of the problem is many of them don't even know or are denying the truth. We don't have a problem. And to think you can expand entitlement programs, that's the Democratic Party. The Republicans did it under Bush. You can't. That's just making the problem worse. And if you make it worse, it's going to implode earlier. You got to pay the bills, and you can't increasingly borrow more and more and more money. And that's exactly the path that we're on. And because of that, you'll never get 3%, 4%, 5%, 6%. Oh, there is an opportunity here, and that's what I'm trying to. It's an opportunity not only for politicians, to the extent that we can stand up a new political party, but the big payoff is to the American people. And it would be. We have to stop doing what we've been doing for 100 years. Today is a very, very competitive environment. And we have been, look at defense. I'm a big advocate of a strong national defense. But we spend nearly half the entire world's, not quite, but we're getting closer and closer, on military spending. You'd have to add 8 to 10 countries their total spending, including China, Russia, and other nations in Europe, to equal what the United States spends. We can't afford that anymore. We certainly can't afford being policemen of the world or nation building, but you have politicians that want to do that. And they're in the Republican Party, the neoconservatives. And you have a military-industrial complex that wants this game to continue. Well, I have news for them. It's not going to continue much longer, because once interest rates get back to, quote, a normal level, they're no way normal now. They're totally manipulated. What happens? The cost of the debt will double and triple, and that will squeeze everything out. You'll have to downsize everything. See, I can sit back and say, I'll just watch the disaster. Some would call it a train wreck or a plane crash. That's what I call a day of reckoning. And what happens is you wake up and they say, yeah, you can borrow money, but it's no longer 2 or 3%. It's 6, 7, 8%. And that's when it hits the fan. The United States is in serious financial problems. And we have a lot of happy talk or no talk. If we want to keep this United States of America alive and well, we need a vibrant economy, which means it has to be growing at least 3, but preferably 4 or 5. And you cannot do it with these two political parties. They just want to spend money. The government sector is simply too big. It's a burden. It's not an asset. As Reagan said, the problem is government. It's not the solution. And that's what I'm saying. If you think more government and more entitlement programs is the solution, you can't do the financial math. You're dangerous. And they are dangerous. They are. If they could do half of what they're proposing, you know, we got a plan, the new Green Deal. If they could do a fraction of that, they would wreck this economy, and I think permanently. That's how bad it is. And you see, both payroll taxes and entitlement, payroll taxes have to be dramatically increased, and entitlement programs have to be cut. The question is, both have to be done. How is that going to be balanced? And when you're, see, I'm talking somewhat abstractly, but if you're running from if you're running for office, as you definitely, if you're running for president, you have to have a stand on this. You can't avoid it. You know, I'm looking at the numbers. As far as I can see, we're going to be short $1 trillion for at least 4 or 5 years, maybe more, especially if those that are call them senior citizens, people that are collecting Social Security and Medicare, and keep this in mind. Until recently, people are living longer. And let's say the baby boom generation lives a lot longer. Well, that just makes the financial situation worse. You know, if we had a plague that wiped out, hit hardest, let's say those between 60 and 100, well, that would definitely improve the financial situation of the United States. Now, I happen to be in that group. I'm not recommending it. But if you're collecting a Social Security check and rely on Medicare, I have news for you. They're in serious trouble, especially Medicare, but also Social Security. And we should have been doing something about it 30, 40 years ago. We didn't. We had a lot of this happy talk, don't worry, kick the can down. Now they're not even concerned about this. They don't even talk about it. And big lie media is not going to clue you in. And I hate to be the party pooper, but you need to be realistic. In other words, not optimistic, not pessimistic. What is happening? We have over $200 trillion of unfunded obligations. Now, fortunately, they don't come due all at once. They come due over the years. But that number is growing, 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 and making it worse. What frustrates me is I've heard, well, we can grow your way out of it. Now, I agree, we can grow our way out of it. That is the answer. It is. But not with a huge, big government that we have. We have to downsize it. And that means closing departments and, yes, reducing entitlements or dramatically increasing taxes or fundamentally fundamental tax reform. And that's really what I'm trying to say is, in my mind, the thing that you could do the quickest is fundamental tax reform. But Donald Trump's not talking about it. The Republican Party's not talking about it. And all the Democrats want to do is increase spending and entitlements and tax you and think the rich are going to pay for it. That is foolishness. That's irresponsible. But that's what you're going to hear from socialists or progressives or communists, whatever they're calling themselves today. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked ever. And it leads to an authoritarian, totalitarian regime. Now, the other news is Kamala Harris is getting out of the race. Surprise, surprise. I never thought she had a prayer. She's also, you know, if you notice, when she's on the campaign trail and she knows the campaign, she's a big smile. That's her thing, a big smile. But whenever she runs into anybody that disagrees with her, she can get real nasty real quick. And eventually that would have come out. We've had a little of it in the debates. So as far as I'm concerned, bye. I never thought she had a chance. Now, if a Democrat wins the presidency, yeah, she would probably be a good prospect for vice president. But first, they have to win the presidency, and I don't think they will. The American people will start focusing about 1 October on the candidates and what they stand for. And Donald Trump is going to expose the Green New Deal for what it is, a disaster. And if, like I say, if unemployment's under 4%, he wins. If the economy is still growing, it's a positive number, he wins. What could lead to a Democratic victory? The economy goes into a full-blown recession. It could happen. It could happen. And I think that's one of the reasons the Chinese would like to cut a deal. Because they know if they cut a deal, Trump will be around. But if the U.S. economy goes into a recession, you think we're going to be importing a lot of Chinese goods? No. And you think, and that's why if you, and I commented on this one or two shows ago, what's big lie media trying to do? What's the narrative they're trying to get you to buy into? The U.S. economy is going into recession. If you ask them, what's the evidence? It's just like the impeachment. What evidence? There is no evidence. It's still growing at a slower rate. See, I'm not a cheerleader for Trump. We have those in talk radio. You need to be honest first with yourself and then your audience. Now, some of them are just out-and-out cheerleaders, and you got to be careful with them, and I think you know who I'm talking about. Actually, they're two big ones, but let me defend them just for a second. And I always say, compared to what? Compared to the Democratic candidates that are running? Are you kidding me? You know, someone was trying to convince me that Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke, he was the rising star, and well, at least he was smart enough, or at least he had advisors that were smart enough to tell him. Not this time. He screwed up, and he knows it. I never was impressed with the gentleman. Still not. I don't see it. But again, some people were big supporters. I was hearing one of them. Oh, he might be back. Can't wait. That's a joke. But there's a message there. And let's get back. I'm going to wrap this up in 1 second. If you want to be president of the United States, for all you ambitious politicians out there, you need what I call mama. No, not your. You don't need a mother. We assume you already had one. Money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. You need all of them. And the more you have of all of them, the better your chances. So you can have a lot of money, but a lousy organization. Or you could have a lot of money and organization, but a message that the true majority of American people don't support. In other words, your message doesn't resonate with the majority of the voters. That's why I say you need the right combinations, and that's why I'm not impressed with money. I'm a little bit more impressed if you have a good organization, but money can buy that. In my mind, what really destroys many people that thought they could be president, they have a message that the majority of American people don't agree with. Now, you might think your message is terrific, and you might have 30, 40% of the voters that actually agree with you, or you can fool to agree with you. But if the message does not resonate with the majority of the American people, you're not going to be president. And don't forget momentum. If you have the first three, you should be getting momentum. But most importantly, You have to really want it. Fire in the belly. If you don't have that, you're not going to be elected president. Just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. Thank you very much for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.